Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Hello, my name is Justin LeClue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Bay Street Video Podcast. We go through all the notable Blu-rays and DVDs live from Bay Street Video in Toronto, Canada.
Live?
Yeah. Well, you're hearing us live. We're talking right now. It is live.
Could we do this live feasibly one time?
How would we do it? Who would be listening?
Nobody
We'd be
would
on like
be
a
listening.
Twitch stream with like two people.
I know. But those two people would be in our hearts
asking
forever.
Questions.
Yeah.
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
More people listen.
On stage at like a Blu-ray convention of some kind. Oh, wow. It's Bay Street. Oh,
man. Please.
We need logo.
Yeah. I mean, we still talked about changing our name at some point.
Yeah,
too, right?
I still don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't come up with anything.
The problem
else.
Was everything I came up with, it just felt like things that have already
been done.
Before. Mm. So.
And you can't just go the best Blu-ray podcast or the best physical media podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. Do I have something called that? No, I just like the idea of calling the best.
The best.
When people search the
because
best, it comes
we
out.
We are the best.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, if you don't know. We are the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Forget
yeah.
all those
Many
other,
people are
forget all
this.
Those other physical media podcasts. We're the one you need to listen to.
Oh, 100%.
Yep.
Because we have someone who is a video store manager. Now, perhaps there's a Scarecrow video out there well through the podcast.
Maybe, maybe. Yeah, those guys are great, actually.
Yeah, those guys
are
very
sorry,
good.
I'm not trying to dump on those
oh,
guys.
Oh, boy. I wish I was at Scarecrow
yeah,
video.
I spoke too soon. I love Scarecrow.
You haven't actually visited
I've never
that
been
store.
There,
oh,
but I
so
love
good.
Them in my mind.
Mm.
I know you've been there.
Oh, I've been there. I bought a shirt, or actually... My wife bought a shirt, and they sent me a shirt, too, after I appeared on their podcast, which I don't
amazing.
Know if that episode ever came out, because the guy I had spoken to, he had donated his copy of Thrilling Bloody Sword for rental, I think, and I was like, oh, I'll send you another one, and he said, oh, I'll send you a shirt then, so
nice,
that's what ended
nice.
Up happening.
You know what we should do sometime, then? We should do a tour around video stores in America.
Who is paying for this?
Our listeners.
Okay, what are the video stores in America? Scarecrow Video,
Scarecrow.
At the top of my head.
I mean, Kim's Video came back, sort of.
Well, it's in an Alamo
yeah,
draft
it's
house.
Like an that
yeah, I guess
really
we could
camp.
Visit that. What else?
There's one called Videomatica.
Yes, Videomatica.
In Atlanta, I
yep.
think.
Isn't Vidiots in LA?
Vidiots?
I think
yep,
it just reopened,
in
LA. Too.
There's one called Narrow Video, which
yes, they follow
is
me. Is that's not the one that's part
or...
of a university, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is?
It
okay.
is.
Yep.
Think
hey, Mark can drive, so Mark, you can drive
I can,
around.
I can.
Wait,
we can drive
so
around.
So you would go to, like, Seattle, which
Seattle,
is very far, LA?
All around the North America.
What,
all around.
What would we see that would be new at the video store we go? It's like,
I'm just interested.
All
to,
the stuff that's in stock.
You know, we could go to the UK and go to Dave Wayne's video store, too.
Oh, all the way to the UK for that video store.
Hey,
okay.
I mean, he's got a pretty cool video store.
He does.
I gotta say,
I
love looking at his videos for them.
I think he said
everything.
That his dad built that video store's been there for decades.
So
I believe.
Long.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're going strong. I really, really love that place.
But no, we're talking about the stuff that's coming in stock here, like Criterion's new release. Man, Criterion's been appearing a lot on the list lately.
You know what? Because there's like nothing coming out. It is there are so many things on this list I haven't even seen, but I'm like, we gotta add something
like,
on here.
I don't think I've ever seen the I guess maybe it's the new ways you guys have the shelves that because
yeah.
there's new stuff now in its own section, if
well,
there's
we
nothing
a...
coming out that week, it just looks
well,
like blank.
Right at the beginning yeah. we have a new this week we have yeah. a new section and a new this week and like leading up to Christmas there was so much stuff
oh, yeah.
coming
we
out
can't even, we don't have no
now
spell,
it's like
space.
Now to be fair we are missing a lot of stuff that should have come out because of January shipping delays so there's a lot of stuff we're missing ton of Kino Lorbers
yeah.
right now
but that's regular right?
that's regular
yeah, yeah, yeah.
but we're missing Severin stuff this week which is supposed to come in you know OCN Vinegar Syndrome stuff
yeah.
supposed to come in we're just waiting on stuff right now
mm.
but we've got a few things to talk about.
It's not like I could
a
go to
things.
A store in town that would have those OCN.
No, they're cool. We're, the Vinegar Syndrome store is
and it's on the other
okay
side of town.
In my heart.
So Chantal Akerman Masterpieces, from 1968 to 1978.
I love Chantal Akerman.
Love her.
And I think this set is really cool.
I like how you're saying that I think, because I was like coming in moaning.
No. We were talking about the packaging only because it was held up. And again, this was held up in shipping a bit because we were told of packaging reasons, which made me think, ooh, is the packaging like more interesting than I thought? No, it's just regular Criterion packaging. But Chantal Akerman is awesome. But I feel like a lot of people, I mean, unless you're an Akerman head, really just know her from John Dielman.
Yep.
Which, of course, topped the Sight and Sound poll for greatest film of all time last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you only know her from that, then this is a great chance to dive into her other stuff, especially from that early period in her career
is there...
where she really established her voice.
And nine
vision.
Movies in this? I was trying to count. On
now,
the
it's a mixture of shorts and features.
Oh,
so
there you go.
But that's the thing. They just put them all here, but it's like they don't. I know, like, Je Tu Il El is a feature, and News From Home is a feature.
It's kind of a feature. It's, like, about an hour-ish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but a lot of those first ones are shorts she did, because she was making shorts as a teenager, and...
But Chantal Ackerman, like, if you just explore these first 10 years, they're very good.
Yep.
But it's when she's making stuff like Golden 80s, which is her musical, like, that's what's interesting
that's
to me,
thing.
Is the kind of contrast between both those things.
Yeah, I would have liked to see them maybe, and maybe... They couldn't do this because of rights or whatever, but do something like they did with the Agnes Varda set,
yeah,
where it was like
very
a more
big.
Comprehensive.
I think they probably
thing.
Considered that, like, we could not sell that in Agnes Varda level.
And that's fair. Her stuff is way more, is a little more esoteric, even.
This
so.
Packaging, though, is really cheap, I feel.
I mean, it looks okay.
It looks
It looks fine. I mean, there's a nice book in there. I've seen photos of.
Is there a book, or is it like a poster
is.
I open
no,
up?
No, there's a book in
okay.
there. From what I saw of. Images of the inside of it.
Oh, yeah. I think the critic was posting about it, right?
Yes.
Beatrice
Loaiza.
Yeah. Lots of special features, though. Interviews with Ackerman, her cinematographer, documentary made around the filming of Jean Dinmen, new visual essay on Ackerman featuring archival interviews. So this is all the stuff that I always say I wish Criterion releases would have. So
exactly,
there you go.
Right. So even if you already even have Jean Dinmen.
As a Criterion?
It's not.
Wait,
yeah, as a Criterion.
When did that come out?
Years ago.
Oh, so it wasn't
long
something new.
Ago.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
no. Long time ago. I would still say this is worth the upgrade, though.
Someone said that we said something came out or something happened recently, and they checked, and it was like 4 years ago. So.
You know, 1 year ago, 4 years ago, who's counting it anymore?
I mean, COVID-19 happened in 2020, which is 2024. It feels like it was last year.
It does.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's crazy that it's been 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we even started this podcast, what, like...
Five years? Yeah,
ago?
It was before
like
that.
Like a year before that? Mm-hmm. Even that feels like yesterday.
Because we've had no success. I mean, you listening, you're our success. Thank you.
Know? Yeah.
Please send a envelope with thousands of dollars in it, too.
We're getting close to 200, eh?
200 episodes? Oh, yeah.
Mm, we should plan a big bonanza.
What would the bonanza be?
I don't know.
Next up, we have, hey, I like this filmmaker.
I do.
I have no idea
I've
what this
movie
is.
I've never seen this film.
It is John Frankenheimer's Impossible Object being released by Indicator Films.
Yeah, this is a real deep cut Frankenheimer for Indicator to pick up because I guess all the other companies have picked up his other stuff. I've never heard of this film and I've never seen it.
I don't know what it's about because there's no summary on the back of the box.
I was like, oh, I was going to read the back. Oh, they don't even tell me what it's about.
You know what? It's almost like it's an impossible object.
But. Do love John Frankenheimer. We've talked about him a lot.
Italian production.
It is, yeah. I mean, you get Alan Bates, who was in all those kind of Euro art stuff in the 70s. Dominique Sanda, I believe, is in it.
Lots of special features. And actual special features, I think, not tricky ones that they try to convince
you. Yeah, it's like real special features.
Audio commentary was Tim Lucas. Interview with John Frankenheimer. Cool. 5 minutes. An extract. Oh, it's an extract from a program, Le Cinéma, featuring the director. I guess they couldn't get the whole episode.
Yeah.
So they only have the 5 minutes of him talking about it. Objectified women in the lost films of Frankenheimer and Lumet. What is lost films? Daniel Kramer.
Is this a lost film with his?
Daniel Kramer's everywhere now. Yeah. Like for the last 3 years. Like every.
No, they only get like five or six guys and they revolve.
I'm going to become one of those guys.
I know.
And then
how do we become one of those
be
guys?
Like, that was enough.
Please.
And we also have Stories of a Love Story, video comparisons between. Wait, is this like a director's cut or because it says there's different versions.
I think it goes
versions.
Under a different title too. I remember. Oh. I don't think it's always.
Wait, its original title is
Impossible Object.
Reindeer Game.
Yeah. What's that? Indicator put out Reindeer Game.
Oh man, if they did that, they would sell so many copies. You know they would.
Even I don't even.
We know
like
you
that
don't
movie.
Like Reindeer Games.
I might. You know, if somebody released
Wait,
a boutique Blu-ray, I'd be so tempted to be like
Vinegar Syndrome,
this
Ultra Edition,
show?
Reindeer Games.
Well, that's a Miramax title, and they're picking up some of that Miramax stuff.
Do you
now.
Think they would do it?
No.
I say they would.
You think they'd put
They're
going to
get
games,
into like
eh?
90s nostalgia.
They might.
We're 5 years away. We're already kind of there.
I mean, they did
there.
The prophecy set, so
yeah,
we're,
exactly.
they're getting there.
Reindeer Games? It's like, oh, this underseen, underappreciated John Frankenheimer film.
You know
film?
What, though? I feel like Shout Factory would be more likely to do
Absolutely.
It because they're also, they announced they're putting out The Faculty, right?
And we were talking. Oh, did they announce it?
Yep.
Oh, I thought Criterion was going to do
doing
it.
4K of The Faculty.
Right.
Anyways, I like these. This is what I like about Indicator, though. You know, they take these like deep cut films and load them with special features. So that's cool.
Next up, we have Jennifer 8 is next. On the trail of a serial killer, Detective John Berlin has no clues, no suspects, and no alibi.
I guarantee that's exactly how the trailer was back in the day.
Directed by Bruce Robinson. So the guy who did Whisnail and yeah. I and How to Get Ahead in Advertising.
This was his
And The Rum Diaries. Who could forget? I saw that in theaters.
Me too. I was waiting for that movie because I was a big fan of the book in high school. And at the time, Terry Gilliam was going to make it, right? As like a Fear and Loathing follow-up. And I was so excited. Remember going to see The Rum Diary finally. Terrible movie. Jennifer 8 was Bruce Robinson's first Hollywood movie, though, after his success, the success of his British films. And it was a huge bomb. And he never made anything again until The Rum Diary.
Now, is this considered a 7 exploitation?
This is before 7.
Wow, 1992, you're right.
So I'm a huge fan of 90s serial killer movies.
You love them.
I'd never seen this one.
And I saw you watched it.
Really bad, unfortunately. It's boring. It's over 2 hours, first of all, which is like not good. Yeah. You know, unless you're like David Fincher or something. Like, I don't know.
But you got Andy Garcia, John Malkovich.
Do you like Andy Garcia, though? Because I thought he was terrible in this movie. And I've always thought, I mean, yeah, like there's role. Like he's fine in The Untouchables and stuff like that. But I've always thought he's like a big over-actor and... I don't know.
And you
he was
hate
just so bad. At it. No, I know. But like not in an entertaining way. I just feel like he's really trying too hard. Maybe I just have something against Andy Garcia.
So I'm glad we could dig up Jennifer 8 to bury
it. Well, it's funny with this one. Shout Factory was going to put this out, God, like a year, maybe even 2 years ago.
They're like, we need to get it perfect.
Canceled it at the last second. So I don't know. Maybe they got new features, new scan or whatever.
Well,
but
there's like a director's cut, isn't there? Where it's like an alternate ending.
Yeah, maybe.
Two cuts of the film.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just watched the theatrical, which was boring. There's not even thrills. There's not even kills. There's no kills. There's no
what
thrills.
What about Lance Anderson in the film?
He's fine.
Yeah.
And John Malkovich is okay, but he shows up right at the end. Uma Thurman plays a blind woman, and like, just such a thankless
role. What's the plot?
Basically, it's a serial killer who's killing blind women.
Okay.
Uma Thurman's...
That sounds Dario Argento-esque, right?
Uma Thurman's roommate, who is also blind, got killed. Andy Garcia's the cop who's also dealing with trauma. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of that, like, you're like, oh, is Andy Garcia the serial killer? It doesn't go there. I wish that's where it went, but no. Anyways, he decides he's going to protect her because he thinks she's going to be the next victim. Really boring. And then it turns into a love story. A love story. So I don't know. You know, Bruce Robinson, cool guy and everything, but I didn't like that movie. I can see why it kind of killed his career.
Next up, we have... I put this on the list. Would you have put this on the list if I didn't?
I put this on the list.
Oh, you didn't?
You put this on the list.
Because I saw you watched it.
Yeah. No, I put this on the list because this is where it's at.
I don't like Thinner.
I know. So I was on Letterboxd and I saw your review.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed you didn't like Thinner, but I understand. I understand. I think
I'm a big Tom Holland fan.
Love Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I really like this movie. I will say I saw it when I was really young and at a friend's house, and it scared the shit out of us.
Oh, it was very scary when I would see the trailers for it when it was coming out.
It was so scary. I thought it was terrifying.
I can't wait how much the slingshot plays into the film. That's a big part of the trailer.
Oh, yeah. I just thought his, like, the fat, like, how thin he was getting really traumatized me as a kid. I will say, though, I rewatched it a few years ago.
Yeah.
I thought it held up for me. I was prepared for it not to hold up, but I liked it. I like how ridiculous it gets, like how Joe Mantegna is like the mob guy. It kind of turns into an action movie after a while.
You know that this movie, or the book, was Stephen King's attempt at writing a Richard Parker novel. That he wanted to do a crime novel.
Richard Bachman, right?
Richard Parker, the guy who did The Hunter, and what is that character name? It's Point Blank is based on it. Jeez, I just did a podcast episode about the comic where we talked about it. Oh, I think I'm saying the name wrong. It's Richard Stark.
Right.
And the character's name is Parker.
Yes.
There we go. I got it.
And this book for Stephen King was a Richard Bachman book, right?
Yes. And he was trying to do it in a different style.
I love Stephen King, too. I've never actually read the book of this. Mm-hmm. So I would like to. Have you read the book?
No, I haven't. Yeah.
I'd like to see how
it's
that
It's not one
differs.
That's held in very high regard.
No, I know people don't really like it, but I just really like this movie. And yeah, I've got a soft spot for Tom Holland, you know?
Even the Langoliers?
I do like the Langoliers.
Well, you saw that amazing
Timekeepers of Eternity. Very, very cool. And I would recommend our friend and Black Zero founder, Stephen Broomer's essay on it. He did an essay for Split Tooth Media, which is a cool website, that he went into the whole thing and how cool it is. Really good read if you like that movie or the Langoliers.
Oh, it's not a video essay. It's actually
like a written essay. Okay. But yeah, that's cool. But I do like the Langoliers because that's more nostalgic because I saw it.
For people don't know the Timekeepers of Eternity, do you remember what the filmmaker's name is?
Aristolis. It's a Greek filmmaker.
And what he ended up doing was taking a 4-hour miniseries,
yep,
and cutting it down to about
just
70
over
minutes.
An hour. Yeah.
But the way that he did it was that he printed out all the frames onto paper, photographed the frames, and then so you're seeing like
and
photocopies of the movie.
So the kind of conceited is the bad guy in it is like his thing, his like nervous tick is that he rips pieces of paper.
Yeah. So that kind of plays into.
So it's basically it takes that form and the whole film is being like ripped in strips and everything, which is really, really cool.
And you transitions and just emotional states.
Yeah.
So you're watching kind of like the paper be changed on screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Photographed
it's being
in that
like
way.
Full crumpled up
and
it's
also
being ripped
the Langoliers is about people who get unstuck in time and end up in the day like the day before
kind of in like a different
like
in the past
in
the time that is being like
eaten up
to the present
and in
basically.
The TV version it's really crummy CGI like Pac-Man
and you know what I thought those things were so cute when I was a kid
But in the movie, it's like holes in the paper.
It is.
Like
it's way better.
Yeah,
it's way better. But you know what? When I was watching that, I was like, I kind of miss those little guys, though. Yeah.
And the ending of the movie, the timekeeper's much more chilling and
it
way
is.
Better.
It is.
Yeah.
In the although the original story is pretty, it ends on that kind of cheesy, happy note, though.
It does.
So
I
will
mean,
say,
all of Stephen King's, almost
exactly.
all of them end on those cheesy, happy, like, and then he sacrificed himself.
Exactly.
And The Shining
like,
was.
Literally, they're like walking out of the airport, like hand in hand at the end of the book, you know?
All right, so next up we have Karate Kids USA.
Yeah, we were talking about Three Ninjas last week, so this showed up. Neither of us had really heard of this
much. I looked at it. And without even turning it around, I went, this is an older film someone has repackaged and retitled.
So it was initially called The Little Dragons.
Yeah. And it's this week's Blind Bond.
And main reason I was interested is because our man, Curtis Hanson.
This was his second feature film.
Was behind this. Although I don't think I think he said he only took this for the money. And he has
really?
No
shocking.
Allegiance to
shocking.
It. So I don't know where you watch this. I watched this on Tubi.
I watched it on YouTube. Was your version completely out of sync halfway through?
No.
Oh, mine
but it
was.
It looked like shit.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, it had the Shoreline logo. So
burned in?
Shoreline put this Blu-ray out. Yeah. I don't know what company that is. They must be like an MOD sort of public domain thing. So I don't think this looks good at all. I think this looks as bad as it looked on Tubi, was like a bad VHS.
It looked okay on YouTube.
Oh,
it was like kind of red. It was a different company. It was released in 2022.
Okay.
But 30 minutes in, it went way out
of
sync.
No way.
And yeah.
No, mine was fine. It just looked really, like a really faded
VHS. Well, it's in
VHS.
Widescreen. It says 178.1.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That might not mean anything, though. They
yeah,
could
you're
just,
right. They could have just cropped it.
I think
well,
because it had the same logo,
here's
I feel like it's the same thing.
This movie is not good.
It sucks. Regardless, it's
all
not
of this
good.
Preamble to be like, oh, it looks very
you
know, bad.
You think we were going
to
be like, having said that, it's great.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, it's
not.
Boring.
Do they even do much fighting in it?
No, like, they don't. It should. You know what this movie, and I'm going to say the title, and people will be like, oh, I want to see that. It's essentially like The Hills Have Eyes, with a bunch of kids, but like nothing happens.
But nothing happens.
Yeah.
I mean, gonzo plot, for sure. Like, you got a couple of karate kids who are out in the woods
with their parents
with their
and grandparents.
Well, with their grandfather.
Yeah.
But then there's another
family.
Set,
yeah, that
family
has a daughter.
Who has a daughter, and the daughter's kidnapped by, like, Hills Have Eyes, hillbilly
Joe
types.
Spinell,
Joe Spinell.
Yeah, the maniac himself.
I didn't even realize it was him at
first.
No,
because he's clean-shaven.
I know, and then halfway through, I'm like, that's Joe Spinell.
That's
right?
What I thought too. I was like, that's like Joe. It can't be him.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Not 1980.
Right?
Yeah.
But it is. So you have a bit of that, like, it gets a little dangerous, right?
Yeah.
And they drop some, I remember them dropping some F bombs or something here or there.
Do
like,
they?
I feel like
I
it had
I
some
noticed.
Crude language in it. And then you think it's, so then the Karate Kids get involved in this, like, hostage
they
plot.
Do no kicking or punching.
I know. The cops are sort of
there's a biker
trying
gang?
To figure there's a bike. That was my favorite part. So a biker gang shows up that becomes friendly with these Karate Kids. I didn't even know what was going on half the time in this movie because it looked like shit, so it was even hard to make out what was happening.
It's boring.
It's boring. There's, like, no fighting.
No.
Even at the end, the big climactic fight, there's, like, nothing there.
If you're
there.
Buying Karate Kids USA, you're being tricked.
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
So,
So I don't know if you saw, I mean, not that you would know anything about this company, but they released their next, or they announced their next release, Clones of Bruce Lee.
Really?
Which I think is coming out from someone else at some point,
right?
I
believe Severn is
probably. Yeah, that's what I heard. So they're just like a public domain.
Yeah, there's a public
ground,
domain
company. Right?
Yeah.
But no features on this because
wait, do they have a website? Do they have a Twitter account where they announce these things? What was it? What was the website?
I just got it on my pre-order
list.
That
we were like obsessed with that had like 5 followers.
Oh,
are they still around? Because they're like, we're doing Nosferatu.
Film Real. It was that Charles Pierce movie. What was that? Real Vault. It was Real Vault.
Real Vault. Are they still around?
I don't know.
Because I mean, remember there was a Twitter account, and we were kind of laughing because we were
we talked about
updating.
And I was like one of their first followers or something. Yeah, yeah.
So you haven't gotten any of the releases? Because I remember they were working on. Nah. They were like scanning a nitrate of a cereal.
Yeah, I don't. I don't remember a new, like they have old public domain stuff, but I haven't seen a new release since that Charles Pierce movie that came out. But that was just DVD anyway, so.
Oh, well. Anyway. We should check their Twitter, Real Vault.
Not happy with my blind
box. We spent too much time on Karate Kids USA.
Not happy with the quality of the film or the quality of the transfer.
Next up. Do you have nostalgia for a mostly bad film?
Okay, we talked about Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
The 93 version at length. When it first came out on Blu-ray from Umbrella, which was a pretty loaded edition.
Yeah, it had a really good making of.
Had a lot of good stuff. It had the alternate extended cut.
Putting this out as well because that the version I bought was like another version from one that had come out before.
Right. Okay.
And now, this is on the Umbrella website. Yeah. The version that they had was wild. I think there was one version was like three books.
Yep.
And I think Super Mario Brothers, when we talked about it, is a fascinating motion picture.
Me too.
I don't think it's very good.
No.
I don't enjoy watching it very much.
No.
But clearly, many people, like, it's burned into their, like,
oh,
psyche.
Yeah. And these things are selling like crazy.
Yeah.
We cannot keep
them
in stock.
There are four audio commentaries on this release.
Yeah.
And the work print has been newly restored in HD.
Yeah.
Cool. Is what I have to say about that.
It's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Wait. So how much is
this
version?
It's like double the price. So that's the four. So they release. So it's their 30th anniversary edition. They did it as a 4K and a Blu-ray. Blu-ray is like 60.
What?
4K is 70.
That okay?
Double the price.
You know what?
Of the previous Blu-ray release.
This one's limited to 3,000.
Yep. We sold out of our first batch right away.
They're selling it to people like they know how many copies they can sell.
Yep.
And they did amazing editions.
Yeah.
This is not for me. I'm very happy with the Blu-ray that I have.
This is probably our first like hottest seller of the year.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many people want
it. So lame.
And it's not even good. No, and I agree.
If there was ever anyone who'd be like, I love Super Mario Brothers, it would be you.
But I'm sitting here legitimately thinking about buying this at some point.
Yeah.
Not the 4K,
no,
but maybe
no,
the Blu-ray.
The 4K, yeah.
Because I, like you, find it a fascinating mess
failure.
Of a movie.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind owning a copy, but even I watched the extended version a couple years ago. Just
when
to
they
see,
came
like,
out online.
And I was like, that's
like
interesting.
It's the same movie, but longer.
Yeah, I was like, that's interesting, but it doesn't make me love it anymore.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, this is like an unsung masterpiece.
Super Mario Brothers is a movie it's fun to think about.
It
you're
is,
like, isn't it wild? And then when you sit there and you watch it, you're like, oh, that's
well,
so
that's
lame.
The thing. Every time before I watch it again, I'm like, no, this time it's going to be really cool. Like, I'm going to notice something different. No, it's just the same experience.
It's like,
every
wow,
time.
There's a big set. And it's like, yeah, there is. And you get ready to stay in that set for like an hour. We ain't moving out of here.
See, my big problem with this movie was, and I'm sure I said this before, is that I just don't think it captures the spirit of the video game that much at all. And I loved the video game growing up.
But
so.
What is the spirit of the... This is the
it
like,
just didn't capture the world. I guess the world was really like
you know
color,
what's wild?
Colorful and... I just don't think they got it.
No,
I'm okay with what they did.
It was made by people
did.
That
like,
didn't like
care.
The game.
Yeah.
So it's like... Oh, I love this like weird thing of a property I love made by people who really don't like it.
Yeah.
That they're like,
exactly.
I don't like this thing and I want to do something away from it.
Yeah.
There's
Which
great,
is fascinating.
I think I probably mentioned it the last time we talked about the Blu-ray. There's a great series of episodes of Best Movie Never Made where they go through like all the early drafts.
Oh,
what's
really,
funny is like in the first few drafts, they got it. They got exactly the game and the spirit, and they kept rewriting it until they landed on someone who did not want to make
that's
this.
That's the thing.
Because when you rewrite
this
something,
darker, grittier
you keep
thing,
have to like removing
like,
things from it as well. They even had like Mario Kart inside of it. There were like jokes about Mario Golf.
That's what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
And like, having said that, do I want to see the new Super Mario
it's
Brothers?
Bad.
No.
I like this
I
better than
care.
I like the new
yeah,
Super Mario
Yeah, that's the thing.
Brothers
I would go
movie.
For this any day. But the dark, the sort of like dark, gritty sort of tone. It was like they're trying to make it like Total Recall or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
Yep.
But still find it fascinating.
I like Bob Hoskins.
I've still watched it like 5 times now.
Five times? I've seen these probably 500 times.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it. I watched it definitely a couple times when I was a kid. I watched it definitely like stoned in university with friends. Still wasn't even great stoned. Watched the extended cut a few years ago. And every time it's like, yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's okay.
Next up, another Umbrella release. It is Audition. I really love this movie.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I do
love
not
it.
Love it $53
no.
worth.
Well, Arrow Video, of course, put this out.
Yeah.
Like, God, 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is, I don't know how this really differs.
There's
this
a new commentary with two filmmakers that I'm not familiar with, Aaron McCann and Dominic Pierce.
Yeah, I don't know. I was honestly not sure I was even going to bring this in because we already have the Arrow version. I don't bring a ton of Australian releases in if there's already like a good
American release,
version.
Yeah. Cool cover.
But some people started asking about it. So I'm like, okay, we'll try it out. We've sold a few. It's not 4K though. That's what most people asked.
Oh really?
They're like, oh, is it a 4K?
$52.95 is definitely 4K pricing.
Nah, it's just
regular
Blu-ray.
Wait, how is it so expensive? You usually get Umbrella stuff pretty cheap.
No, that's what their prices are for their special edition stuff. It would be more expensive from like our old supplier we used to get them from. That's just the price they set them at. They're like $50 now.
I think
the 4K for this is like $20 more for the Super Mario
Brothers.
What is
going on with prices? I feel like since we started the podcast, the joke is I'm like, it's so expensive, but like.
No, they're really
expensive. It's really expensive.
And these aren't even their like web store exclusives.
No, the web store exclusive
are like
$150.
Like over $100. Yeah. But
this is not sustainable.
It's not. It's
no.
But Love Audition, great movie.
Please, Mark, do not tag Umbrella in the post that you make about this. Because I saw that you tagged Neon in the episode where I'm like,
whatever.
Don't buy the old bar release.
Do you think Neon cares at all?
No.
No. I wouldn't do it with...
Wait, what's that? I received Old Boy in the mail? Everyone needs this Old Boy release.
Look, we're just speaking the truth here.
Yeah.
If I would appreciate, if I worked for these companies, that there were fans out there speaking the truth.
And it's
or,
like,
or
how
not,
do you sleep
you know?
At night?
That's why I don't. That's why I don't work for any of these companies.
No.
So please give me a job, even though I shit talk all your releases.
But you weren't working for them before.
No.
Even though, yeah. No. So next up, we have The Holdovers. Man, it's a light week. I probably added this to the...
It's Christmas again.
Yeah, this movie's good.
Yeah, I saw this at TIFF.
Yeah.
It was kind of an assignment that I had to review. Wasn't looking forward to it. It won me over.
Yeah, you know what? It won me over too.
It was warm.
Everyone who saw it at TIFF, because I was like, why would you see that at TIFF? You can see it later.
No, I had no interest in it. It was literally like I was doing some film criticism and they wanted me to review it.
I love Paul Giamatti. I love the kid in it.
Yeah, everything's good. I wouldn't say it's like a favorite of the year of mine, but it's definitely...
Davina Joy Randolph, very fun.
Oh, yeah. She's great. I fell off. You know, I used to be into Alexander Payne.
Yep.
I thought Election, Love.
I mean, everyone says
everyone
Election.
Says
what
election.
About
Sideways?
No, the first one.
Citizen Ruth.
Citizen Ruth. Yeah.
I don't think it holds up very
well. I was like,
well.
The Gun and Betty Lou's Handbag. Who made that one?
That's Alan Moyle, I think.
Oh, it is Alan Moyle.
I think
Moyle?
That's Alan Moyle. I think.
For some reason, I don't know why I connect both of them. Maybe when I used to work at Eyesore, they were like beside each other
right.
or something like that.
Citizen Ruth, I feel like is very much of its time.
Yes.
I don't think it's commentary really. You know.
Both sides.
Yeah, it's the whole both sides, but like when you're dealing with abortion.
Nebraska?
Like,
I like that.
I did like Nebraska.
Yeah.
That was the last one I was like, yeah, he's still got it.
What has he done since then?
Downsizing.
Oh, yeah. Like, some people
like
go to bat.
That.
I know Will Sloan likes that movie a lot.
I never saw it. Yeah. I didn't like The Descendants very much. That was before.
Oh,
Nebraska,
yeah. No one liked
though.
The Descendants.
Yeah.
That is like peak, like, this is 40 Alexander Payne.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. That was the one where I went to see it in theaters. I'm like, I don't know if I like Alexander Payne.
Does
anymore.
George Clooney, like, does he have like a curse on like everything that he touches? Because, like, he's a terrible director.
Terrible director.
And he keeps directing.
Except for Confessions of a Dangerous
it's okay.
Mind. I like that.
That's
I like it.
A Charlie Kaufman script.
Yeah, and I like Sam Rockwell.
People like Good Night and Good Luck.
Oh, yeah, I like Good Night and Good Luck. Or at least I did at the time.
Like, remember that email that leaked in the Sony hack where you were
like,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I didn't do a good job. I'll do better next time.
I don't think there's a more mid-director
than... Remember if he, like, directed... Like, what is going on with... Like, how is he so lame?
I don't know.
I didn't see the one he directed from the Coen Brothers script, did you?
No, Suburbicon.
Yeah, Suburbicon.
No, it looked interesting, but then I saw George Clooney, and I'm like, well, it's not going to be interesting if George Clooney directed it.
Yeah. Well.
He's like the champion of making movies that don't exist. Because,
like,
nowadays,
he just made one that, like, vanished.
The Boys
that
in the Boat or something?
The Boys in the Boat.
When that came up, I'm like, there's no way that movie exists, right? That's a real movie? Apparently it's a real movie.
Did you see Maestro?
No. I don't
like,
care
do
about
Netflix
that.
Films exist? Because, like, if you look at the Oscars, there's a whole bunch of Netflix
there
films.
Are.
I'm like, I've never heard of
I mean,
of
I saw May
them.
December. That exists.
Oh, is that a Netflix film?
That's a Netflix film.
Oh,
yeah.
But, like, what was the
great.
Other one?
I love that.
Naya or something like that?
Oh, Naiad.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Guaranteed that doesn't exist.
Like, they're all. It's so funny they're on that list because it's like Netflix pays enough money to, like, wine and dine the voters to get them on there.
To be fair, I've seen many clips of Bradley Cooper pretending to compose in my
where,
soul. So
where
I
have you seen these clips? Where,
on Twitter, I don't
are
know.
People posting them? Like,
yeah, there's
like
a
no
lot,
one is
lot
saying,
of Maestro
watch
posting
Maestro.
Going on right. Yeah, I don't know if they're saying watch it. But
oh,
just
I have
a
not
lot,
seen any Maestro.
A lot of
posting.
Maestro clips on my timeline these
oh,
days.
Oh wow,
looks terrible though.
Yeah,
don't want to see it.
Well, maybe it's great.
Maybe.
I mean, you wouldn't like
it. I would not.
No.
Would not care about that at all.
Next up, we have a new John Woo film, The God of Action.
Oh, no way.
Now, Mark, last time this came up on this podcast, you were like, I've been hearing people say it's pretty good.
So I have to apologize because I still have I was going to watch this.
Yo, you haven't watched
now.
It? Oh,
I know.
I wanted you to be.
I was going to.
It's
going to
go
and
two
I think
ways.
I even said at the time, I was like, I'm going to watch this one before we talk. I just had a busy week. So
that you were going to be A? Like, oh no, this is good.
I know.
And I would have been like, that is wild.
Well,
what are you talking about?
When it first came out, I was saying to Justin, maybe on this podcast.
It was on this podcast.
Yeah. That my initial.
Because I remember being shocked when you said it, shocked when I was editing it, and then I was coming in guns blazing.
Because initially.
Like a John Woo guy.
Yeah. When this came out, most people I know who saw it, including yourself, hated it. Thought it was terrible. So I was like, that's kind of what I expect, whatever. Then, I don't know, on Twitter.
I asked, who are these people? The same people posting Maestro clips?
No, look at the reviews. They're like mid. They're mixed. Mm-mm. There is positive reaction
to it. Well, if you look anywhere, you'll find positive reactions.
No, no, but it's not like, you know, you can tell when a movie is like really terribly reviewed.
Mark's like, let's look dailywire.com, see what they thought.
You seem to think these people don't exist, but there are people championing this movie.
I'm sure this has
ended up on people's top 10 list.
Those people are bananas. Those people are not right-wing freaks.
I know, actual people.
But I don't follow them. That's fair. If this is on your top 10 list, boy,
What didn't you like about this? Because I'm almost more intrigued now that it's so divisive.
It's boring.
So the gimmick just doesn't work.
No, kind of forget about it, and it doesn't use enough expressionist kind of like, if it was using it in like weird kind of like non-real ways, it would have been funny. It's not. Nothing happens for an hour after the movie starts. So it's about Joel Kinnaman. His family gets murdered. Or no, his daughter gets murdered in a drive-by shooting. Starts off really fun. Starts off in a way that when the movie started, you'd be like, oh, maybe Justin's wrong. Yeah. But then he trains for an hour of the movie. So there's no action for an hour.
Okay, all right.
And
there's no dialogue through any of this. Right?
No, they cheat because there is radio. So you hear the radio, you hear... you know, on like the police
TV.
Band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That sucks. I don't like that. That's breaking
they should have really committed to the bit.
And once
you know?
It starts, it's okay DTV action, but it's like there's a fake oneer going upstairs and it's lame.
Okay.
So
no John Woo style?
No.
Or just
if
like
anything, I'd say it's almost
down,
like very watered down. You know what it feels like? Second unit directors who are trying to do John Woo.
Okay.
Or they're demanding that those John Woo-isms of him.
Yeah.
Also, pretty racist. Like,
is it really?
Yeah. It's all like non-white drug dealers and they're shown like, and I was like, when
John.
It started, I was like, oh, I hope they'll go in a different direction. No, they're like at one point giving candy to children. Like it's like, oh,
come on, guys.
Yeah.
John Woo, who wrote this though?
Some guy from LA.
Okay. So just
that, like, it says his name in the trailer, like, from the writer.
Right,
so I feel like
maybe
he had a lot of, like, influence on it.
So why did John Woo make this? Do you know?
Because he couldn't get any other job off
that's
the
ground. That's
it, eh? Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. Yeah. Because after Manhunt, which came out many, many years
ago.
That
was a long time
ago, He was sick
at
the time, and people were like, that's it, this will be his last film.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy Manhunt. People, when I was saying that this movie was bad, they're like, oh, well, let's see if Justin liked Manhunt. Maybe he is. Oh, no, he did like it. No,
we don't know how to think.
Yeah. I wanted to love this movie. I don't like it. It's also shot in that LA
style
of, like, blown out lights, like in the windows. Someone sitting beside me when we were watching it, like, ugh, because he knew all those ticks and he hated them.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
And it was a kind of a low budget production too. Like it wasn't a VVS putting it out.
In Canada. I think it was Lionsgate in the US. So.
John was in interviews on stage where he's like, yeah, I didn't really want to make this movie.
Really?
It's
one of those.
Yep.
Well, I'm gonna save it for next Christmas.
And it's a Christmas movie too. It's barely a Christmas.
That's the thing.
Film.
I wanted to watch it before Christmas because I think it dropped on VOD right before.
It has a really funny ending.
Okay.
That like me and the person I watched it were like laughing for like a week afterwards and like sharing memes and stuff like that from it. Like it's like a big John Woo melodramatic ending that I wish there was more of that throughout the movie.
Okay.
But,
well, I definitely got to see this. I will see this, but I'll probably watch it next Christmas or something. It's hard for me to watch Christmas movies.
Is it? It's barely a Christmas movie.
Around Christmas. Really?
Yeah.
Because they really seem to sell it like it was a Christmas movie.
It's in LA too, so there's like no snow.
So there's no snow. Yeah. Well, I'm still... intrigued, even though I'm going to go in with very low expectations.
Oh, yeah, but at this point, maybe you'll be like, oh, Justin was too hard on it.
Yeah,
is
maybe,
it bad?
Maybe
is
I'm going to come back and be like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about, Silent Night? Movie of the year. No, it's going to be on my top 10 list.
Retroactively on my top 10 list. All right, well, that's it for this week's episode of Base Review Podcast.
That's all we got.
We got more stuff coming in next week?
Hopefully. Right. So we are waiting on a lot of late stuff this week. Actually, the last month of January was pretty stacked for stuff coming out.
Yeah.
It just, none of it's here. It hasn't arrived. We have a few big sets, one of which Justin's got a copy of here, which we'll talk about. But yeah, we should have some more stuff next week, I think.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Base Review Video Podcast. Until then, my name is Justin LeClue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting.
Films that star George Clooney.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
Star George Clooney. George Clooney liked him as an actor
for a while.
Originally.
He was known as kind of box office poison.
Yeah, right?
Because he was one of those guys that are like, we can't get him off the ground.
Yeah.
I'm looking right here at his
But he did like interesting things back. That was the most interesting part of his
career. Well, like
career.
Him doing the Coen Brothers stuff, like that was interesting.
Yeah,
when he was going
or like the
type.
Soderbergh stuff.
Yeah.
Or even like From Dusk Till Dawn, which I know is like obviously
that was
big
kind of
now,
one of his first.
Time, yeah, I think From Dusk Till Dawn was his first like leading film role.
Yeah. So I'm looking like he started because he was a handsome guy. He was in like Return of the Killer Tomatoes. He's very funny in that movie.
Yes, yeah. He was in Return to Horror High.
Briefly,
too, I
he
think.
Gets killed.
Yeah.
Off early he gets, on he was in Curdled. I didn't know that.
ER was his big like coming out
yeah,
party.
Yeah,
he's
though, great
right?
in ER.
Yeah,
love him in ER. Then he was in a movie, if anyone knows this, it's you, One Fine Day.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but okay. I remember it well, like just it being around.
Directed by Michael Hoffman. Who's that? The Best of Me, A Summer Night's Dream, Soap Dish, The Emperor's Club,
right,
the remake of Gambit. So I guess he's in the Ethan Coen or the Coen brothers team because they
like
wrote
that.
Gambit,
yeah,
which
he's
is a remake of something else. Then From Dusk Till Dawn, Batman and Robin, of course. He's bad
at that. See, that failed to launch
He
him.
Dropped off of something else to do Batman and Robin. I'm trying to think of what it was.
Yeah,
I heard about it recently.
There was something more interesting, right?
The Peacemaker.
Oh, I loved The Peacemaker when I was a kid.
Did you?
I did.
124 minutes.
I'm sure it's terrible if I revisit it.
Directed
that
by
was the first DreamWorks film.
The daughter of a exploitation director. Mimi Leader is, I don't remember what her
name. Yeah, she did, didn't she do Deep Impact?
Yeah.
Yeah, boring.
Oh, she did it On the Basis of Sex and Pay It Forward.
Wow. Well,
she's a big TV director.
Yeah.
That's what she does a lot, like a prestige
I don't remember. The Peacemaker was a big deal at the time, though.
Okay, but then he gets Out of Sight.
Out of Sight?
At Rules.
Yeah.
He's a little bit in Thin Red Line.
Yeah, he's barely in that.
Three Kings. Awesome.
Awesome.
Love
yeah, I
Three
think
Kings.
Three Kings was like one of the first ones I was like, whoa, this guy's great, you know?
He's offered a role in, wait, and he's also in Failsafe, because supposedly the live version,
the
speaking
remake.
Of John Frankenheimer, did he direct that?
He
no,
did.
Stephen Frears directed it.
Oh, really? I thought it was Frankenheimer.
And I think it was live on TV.
It
like,
was.
That was the gimmick,
yeah,
right?
That was the gimmick.
Because it's that's a John no Sidney Lumet.
Sidney Lumet.
Not Frankenheimer.
Yep.
Frankenheimer did a lot of live TV.
He did.
That's
yeah.
what I'm thinking of.
I remember that being a pretty big deal. They advertised the shit out of that.
A Perfect Storm. We all had Perfect Storm fever.
Yeah,
I don't like the movie very much.
No, it's not very good.
Is it hurt
but
by like the ending where it's like then they all
it's
die?
Kind of a bummer. Yeah. But I mean, you love that shot of it, you know, that's on the poster.
Yep.
Just going over.
Let me
and
look
then it was
here.
Like Ocean's 11 kind of just
Spy Kids,
took
Ocean's
off
11,
that,
Solaris.
Right? Oh, love Solaris.
Yeah.
He's
good night
great,
and good man. Luck. And then we get real dodgy around Syriana.
That's when he won his Oscar, right?
Oh, he's great in Michael Clayton.
He is.
Wait,
I like
did
that.
He win for
he
Syriana?
He won for Syriana.
Oh, man. I remember
he won Best Supporting Actor
in
for that.
The audience being like, what the hell is leather? This sucks. Leatherheads?
Leatherheads.
Yeah, he directed that, starred in it. It was supposed to be directed by Steven Soderbergh.
I remember.
I would have liked to see that version.
I didn't. I avoided that one.
The American. See, he was still doing weird stuff. And then
I found
the Descendants.
The American really boring, though.
The Ides of March, P.U.
Yeah, boring.
The Monuments Men, and then we're gone.
Yeah,
he's gone.
I never saw. I think after the Ides of March, I was like, I don't need to pay
he's
attention anymore.
He's fun in the goofball Hail Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
A very funny role.
You know what? Hail Caesar was very funny.
Wow. A movie that I feel, it's not a movie, it's a TV series. Remember the adaptation of Catch 22 that came out?
Yeah,
that barely exists. Yeah, he directed some of that.
Oh, no way.
And he's like one of the main characters.
Interesting.
Oh, it's got that mid. I only see one review here from someone I follow, 2.5. But then scrolling down, I see other 4.5s on here. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
See, like, you're saying these things, and I'm like, yeah, I just wasn't paying attention to these.
Nichols' version of Catch 22. I love how big of a an FU movie it is. Like a young filmmaker, like doing so much crazy stuff, and that kind of killed that side of Mike Nichols.
Exactly.
He did so much that people were like, he's like, oh, I'm just gonna phone it in from now on, basically.
Exactly. And then they just make a bland limited.
Can George
TV
Clooney
series.
Come back? That is the question.
I don't know. I don't think he cares, though. He's got too much money.
He does care. That's why he's doing, a Coen Brothers script and other stuff like that.
But he did that Boys in the Boat movie, and who cares? What's that about?
He must just be disconnected. Why do you make a movie like Boys in the Boat if you're George Clooney?
I don't know. What's interesting about
Oscar,
that?
It's Oscar, I think. You're doing it for Oscar
stuff. Yeah, didn't take off for Oscar, that
No,
one.
It didn't.
It was an Apple TV film or something like that.
It's about rowing, I think?
Yeah, I think so. Ugh. He probably wants that director Oscar, which has evaded
it's
him.
It's way out of...
He's got the actor Oscar.
But nobody likes his move, George.
I know.
Think about it.
The closest he would have come would Good Night.
Did you see Monuments Men?
No.
That feels like a movie I would enjoy, but nobody liked it. Bill Murray, Batman, John Goodman, and a bunch of other interesting cast members.
Damon's in that.
Yeah,
right?
Doing heists during World War II.
Yeah.
Maybe George needs to.
It just looked like Ocean's 11, but set during World War II or something.
He needs to get back with Soderbergh. I think they need to make a movie.
That was the most interesting. That whole out of sight through Solaris.
No, through The Good German. That was the last
one
they did
the good
together.
The Good German is great. Very.
Do you I don't like The Good German.
I love The Good German. I love Tobey Maguire's crazy performance.
Yeah, I think that one, I understand what Soderbergh is doing.
Yeah.
And I love how he's burning so many bridges making that movie.
Yeah.
But I think it's such an unpleasant experience by design.
Yeah.
That it doesn't work for me in that
That's
way.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I really...
Tobey Maguire is the real star of Good German. And he's bananas
he's
in that
over,
movie.
Because I remember not really... I wasn't into him at that point. I was this is a crazy performance.
Because he starts the movie, too, because you're following him.
I really vibed with that movie. And that's one that I think is out of print now and has never come out on Blu-ray
Soderbergh
or anything.
Has,
yeah.
I think it killed Soderbergh. I don't think we were getting those Soderbergh Blu-rays either.
Yeah,
do you know why? Did you get that email that he's stopping doing physical stuff on his website?
Yeah. I did get that email.
I never touched that because they were all $50 t-shirts. Get out of here, Soderbergh.
We were so excited about that potential Blu-ray set that he teased, you know?
I don't know. I don't know what's
going on. And now that Kafka cut is out there. So what's...
Oh, is it out there?
Well, I mean, he's toured it.
I thought you meant it's out there available
online. But he's screened in New York a few months ago. So he's screening it around.
I just want Soderbergh commentaries. I loved him as a personable, opening the door filmmaker. And in the last few, he just stopped doing that completely. I wonder what burned him. Because you always get a point, all these people, Del Toro's, Soderbergh, even Robert Rodriguez, where at a certain point they're I just want to do it anymore. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
What is that kind of breaking point? It's probably just one person making a comment. I'm not going to do it anymore then.
He's just too busy. He's just making too many
movies. Is he
movies.
Too busy?
He's got,
what
he's,
is he doing? He's
got
that David
Sundance
Kent movie.
That's,
but without having that open door kind of personable filmmakers thing, which I think what made a lot of people interested in Soderbergh, that he's closing that off.
Yeah.
And then he may be doing the same things that he's doing, but when he did Unsane, I would have loved for him to talk about it in commentaries or a making
That's
of.
That's the thing. Didn't really like it, but I'm fascinated by the...
I love Unsane. I'm shocked you didn't Unsane.
Maybe I went in with too high expectations. I was ready to love it.
No, I saw it in theaters and I was vibrating when I left the theater. I was I love it so much.
It didn't do it for me. I liked it at first and it just lost
me.
I don't know. But I would have loved to hear him talk about it.
He needs to stop doing the miniseries. It's too much. People don't watch him. It's too much of a commitment. Even that Full Circle, this is great. And I watched 2.5 episodes and I was like, I
was doing these movies.
It.
That movie he did last year that he put out on his website.
It was a little series though.
It was
Michael Cera. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So that's the those are too much of a commitment. Get back to movies.
Just get
90
back to
minutes.
Movies. Yeah.
Maybe 2 hours. That's what just. Even if you put 3 movies a year, I think that's more digestible. Even though that you've said you still don't watch them.
Well, I watched Magic Mike's Last Dance.
It's bad.
No, I caught up. Remember we talked about those
HBO
Max ones?
But you didn't
any
of them.
I didn't like any of them. Yeah, we had a whole thing where I was like, Steven, you got to take a break. I was telling him he's got to take a break.
Maybe you're the one who caused the situation that we're in now.
But he hasn't taken a break. He's still doing things as fast as ever.
I just think that it's a TV series are too much, and I think they're too difficult to grasp for people, and that's why the movies and I don't know.
Fair. Look, I said that, I'm going to watch his new movie as a Sundance.
What would get you into his good graces? What would he have to do?
I really love the, and I I feel like
we haven't had a Soderbergh corner in forever.
Yeah, I feel like maybe you would say he's still doing this, but I don't feel like he's doing stuff like a Schizopolis or
like a Full Frontal.
I really like that whole thing where you do like Ocean's 11 or Aaron Brockovich, and then he would do something so like I also love Solaris and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I mean,
so what you're saying is you don't like
a German, like
this mid-level Soderbergh, where he's working with famous people,
exactly,
and maybe like doing little experimental stuff. Yeah. Like in, what is the crime one he did? It was one something. Geez, there's so many titles that are similar to it. I can't remember. But like in that one, like that weird like periscope lens he was using in it. Like I love that.
Exactly.
But you didn't like that movie.
No sudden move, right?
No sudden something. Like
yeah,
that.
See,
yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought with those HBO Max things. It seemed like okay, I could see he's maybe trying to do a bit of that, but it just felt still
because like he improvised that
too,
Meryl
like,
Streep one on the boat.
For me. Yeah, it didn't.
But
it didn't
wasn't
feel like
that
to me. Yeah, it didn't feel as improvisational or as like experimental as.
What about the Netflix
stuff.
One that he made? The terrible one about the bank. Crisis.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see it? Nah. You should watch it.
You know what the last one I did like of his? Yeah. High Flying Bird. I really
like I really like High Flying
that
Bird.
That was cool.
Is it
but
because
I like sports
the,
stuff,
the people
though,
in that
too.
Were that... You know what? But that
maybe.
One, there's something
I like
to,
basketball, too.
Dig
so
your
I don't
teeth
know.
Into.
Just...
And that's like when you watch like...
Yeah,
I
felt like I was really like... on the wavelength of that
like
film.
Let them
and,
talk
like, with the characters
there's not much to like kind of it's like
that's the thing I just didn't care about anybody No Sudden Move to me just felt like he was kind of redoing his like old crime shtick again
but I like that
new
I found it engaging.
I don't know,
I would like to, you know what, like
but
that
I mean
one...
I still like you know something like The Informant I love you know? Like
good.
I love a lot. I don't necessarily dislike his bigger movies.
So basically what we're trying
times.
To say is you don't want any mid-size Soderbergh.
I think
you
so.
Want like big experimental
like big and then really small and like.
What do you think of Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, and Ocean's 13?
I don't like those actually.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I've not seen even all... Ocean's 12. Ocean's 12, the big FU movie. When was the last time you watched it?
Not since theaters.
Okay, I think if you watch it now, you would like it again because like it's shot like it doesn't give the audience anything that they want.
Okay.
And it's like you don't remember. It's like very aggressive, and that's why Ocean's 13 is like just the heist.
Yeah.
And Soderbergh went like, all right, I'm gonna give people what they want.
The Ocean movies, they were fine.
Yeah.
I just never.
And they're guarantors as well.
Yeah.
Like I can make this. Which
exactly.
Will allow me to
and
make
that's
this.
Why I had no problem with them because he was still doing that really interesting
it's
stuff.
It's weird
in between,
that he's not.
But...
Could he make like a theatrical movie again? That would be because he tried with Logan Lucky. I really like Logan Lucky.
You know what? I haven't seen that one yet.
I think that one's very
to
good.
Me, I don't know why. I think it was just like it was giving
it's
me
because
like,
of you.
It was giving me Ocean's vibes, and I just wasn't doing. But I would like to go back and check
that one
out,
has a wild cast. Of,
I know
because like Macon Blair's in it near the end.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane for one scene.
Yeah, I mean he's never not going to be a guy I'll be fascinated with.
But you don't have that passion that I still have.
No,
that if you look at my phone right now, Steven Soderbergh is staring at my face.
But I'll still keep tabs on what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like as opposed to like an Alexander Payne or like other people from that time period that I could care less about these days.
Soderbergh, give me a call. I love that. Wait, what I want to chat? A lot of the filmmakers that I really like, I don't think I would want to hang out with.
Yeah,
them.
I don't know. I mean, he seems personable enough.
He does.
I've seen him do Q&As and stuff.
Yeah,
and
but like, I don't know what I would get out of. Like, I just want him to do more commentaries. Like, I like to be like from
that's
a distance.
I do like hearing him talk about his process, like that book that he wrote. Getting Over It. Or
that book is so good.
Is.
Which
I
is
love
like
that book.
Half
yeah.
a Richard Lester interview and half
which is
a
really
his
wild book.
Does he still? Do you think he still writes a diary? Because I would.
Well, I mean,
love,
he does his diary of what he watches.
I know,
right?
But I would love him to publish like another diary.
I wonder. Yeah.
Yeah.
He should.
Those are
see
so
that
good.
That I would read for sure.
Yeah.
Regardless of how I feel about his new movies.
That, that's what I like. I was thinking about this today. Like some of the podcasts. Like I'm like, oh yeah, new episode from this podcast listener. But if I met them in person, I'd be like, I don't know what I would talk. If anything, all I could do is like ruin the idea that I have with this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm trying to say you don't want to meet us. You
no,
wouldn't like it.
No.
Just me not making eye contact. Just like Steven Soderbergh. Like I would love to go to Q&A with Steven Soderbergh or see Guillermo del Toro like talk on stage. Love that.
Yeah.
But if I met him, what did you think of? I don't want to do a Guillermo del Toro. Are you,
no, don't do
a Pacific Rim. And I was like, I prefer Pacific Rim the second one.
The one
like,
you didn't make.
Yeah.